You're listening to G4D, Grounds for Discussion, a weekly music podcast hosted by your two most caffeinated hosts, Adam and John.
So sit back, relax, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and enjoy the following episode. Good evening, 007.
My name is James Bond.
Ah, members of your curious profession are few in number. You have been recognized. Let's say by one of your opposite members, who is also licensed to kill. That interesting car of yours. I do have a new toy, but considerably more practical. You are looking at an industrial laser, which emits an extraordinary light, unknown in nature. It can project a spot on the moon, or at the close range, cut through solid metal. I'll show you. This is coffee, Mr. Bond. All my life, I've been in love with its color. It's brilliant. It's divine heavenliness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk, Coffee Finger?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. Turns to black. This summer, Daniel Craig returns for his final mission. Coffee Finger.
Oh, hello, Miss Money French Press. How are you doing?
Yes. Oh, man. This episode's off to a great start, buddy. Great, great start. And you know what?
I'll take the Ethiopian over there.
Oh boy. Things you can say about your coffee, but not your wife.
Whoa.
Oh.
But wow. Yeah, this is.
Wait, you got to do one.
Do what?
Things you can say about your coffee, but not your wife.
Ooh. My wife actually listens to the show.
Oh, okay.
And I would like to not have to sleep on the dog couch. Or the dog bed, I should say, but oh man.
it's like whose line is it anyway? Just go.
Well, I've never really been good at improv ever.
Oh.
Which is why I have you. That's why you're my perfect co-host, my greatest partner in crime here on Grounds
for Discussion. Hi friends.
I'm John. This lovely human being right across from me is Adam.
That's me. What up?
Looking dapper as always. You got this nice little glow about you. Were you out in the sun recently?
Sure wasn't. I was in a fort of my apartment for the last 3 days.
Oh, well, maybe it's from all the good rest you got over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, and
the blood is flowing.
And
you know.
Noodles. I got a lot of noodles this weekend.
Noodles?
Yeah.
I didn't know noodles could make you tan.
I guess so. Well, if they're hot enough, you know.
Mm, okay.
We went to 3 different noodle places this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. We went to Domu.
Only 3?
What
is this, amateur hour?
I know, right? We went to a different one every day.
No kidding. Which ones did you go to?
So we went to Domu.
Okay.
So that's an East End market, and it was amazing. Highly recommend the chicken wings. They have chicken wings.
Here in Orlando, Florida, where the podcast is recorded.
That's right. Go to Domu. It's really good.
It is really good. I can't wait for them to open up a second location.
I know. Dr. Phillips.
Yes.
Right around the corner from us.
Cannot wait.
That's going to be good. Their chicken wings, it was like a butter kimchi sauce, and they were like super crispy. Hmm. It was amazing. They were incredible. You definitely have to get them.
All of that, I want it in my mouth right now.
Oh, my God. Yes. And then the next day, we went to Sapporo Noodles, which is kind of off Kirkman Road. Like all the way in the back, kind of before, what's the name of that road?
Bumby?
Nope. What's the...
Keep in mind, there's probably several people who are listening to this and are like,
they're
what?
They're yelling at me. What? It's this road. Oh, my gosh.
I know, right?
Pine Hills? It's near Pine Hills.
Okay.
Yeah, but oh, my God. It was incredible.
Okay, so that's two. What was the third?
And then also, there's an Asian market right next to it. So we bought a bunch of pocky and snacks and good stuff. Yeah, and then the third one, we went to my personal favorite, Via Garden, off of Colonial and Shine Avenue. Very good. Been going there for years. They probably have the best summer rolls, which is like the rice paper, you know, shrimp, pork wrapped in rice paper with peanut butter sauce. Oh, it's excellent. It's really good.
Well, you know how to live it up
on
Memorial Day weekend.
That's right. And you lived it up too, didn't you?
Yes, but in a much different fashion. Much, much different fashion. Yeah. I got my nerd on and went to MegaCon, the really big Comic-Con convention that we have here in Orlando. I think it's actually one of the biggest, like obviously not as big as New York Comic-Con or...
It's pretty big. There was expected, what, 100,000 people in attendance?
Yeah, something like that. I was hearing that number too. I was quite impressed with that. Yeah, it goes on for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this past weekend. And I went for two of the days. One of the days I kind of just did my thing. I always like to go for 2 days to MegaCon. On the first day, I go, I meet all the comic book artists and celebrities and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the second day, I go dressed as somebody, which has kind of become like a new tradition between myself and my group of friends that I go with. So I'm sure you saw the pictures on Instagram. I dressed up like Indiana Jones.
Yep.
And then our buddy John dressed up as probably the sexiest looking Jon Snow, if I might say so myself.
He was summer edition Jon Snow, though.
Summer
right?
edition, yes.
Oh, like Barbie. Summer Barbie.
Summer Jon Snow. Yes, that's right. He wore the cloak. I don't know if that has a specific name or not. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
The IKEA rug?
The IKEA rug. There you go. And he wore a Baywatch bathing suit and had the Baywatch buoy. However, it said Night Watch on it.
Oh.
Pretty creative. Pretty creative, right?
That's clever.
It was funny, though, because there were so many people who would see the cloak and they'd be like, Jon Snow, but I don't get the rest of the outfit. And it takes him a little bit, and they're like, oh.
Should name him John Summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, a lot of people want to take pictures with him. I mean, how could you not? Also, John is just ridiculously good looking, and I feel comfortable enough saying that about another man.
No, it's all good. He's a good looking dude.
He is a good looking dude.
Yeah.
That's right. He's probably listening to this right now, and he's probably going like, stop.
He's like, guys, stop, as I flex over here.
But yeah, it was a great time. It always is a great time going to MegaCon. And for me, the reason why it ends up being a great time is just you end up just hanging out with all these people that like all the same geeky nonsense that you like.
Sure.
There's just that passion, that excitement behind all of it.
Mm.
You're bound to make new friends. You're bound to talk about some things.
Some Walking Dead. Gotta love the Walking Dead, right?
Well, they had a whole display for that.
My God. Give me all the Walking Dead.
No, they also had one for Jurassic Park.
Well, of course. But yeah, Jeff Goldblum was there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie got to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
And by meet him, go, hi. He didn't even say anything.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So basically, they like... You know, all the celebrities come and you get like a time slot. So Carrie and her friends had like 4:50, right?
Okay.
And it's literally, they put you in a line. They say, whatever you don't want in this picture, don't take with you. Take picture, go. Like Jeff Goldblum said like nothing to them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Well, see, that's kind of disappointing to hear.
Right.
I mean, I know they had to keep those things moving, otherwise it would just take forever.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting to talk to a celebrity, and granted, maybe he's not as well known as Jeff Goldblum, but I got to meet Dave from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I always mess up on the actor's name, so I apologize if I totally butcher it. I think it's Kier? Yeah, I think it's Kier, because it's K-E-I-R Dalia.
Kier Dalia?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
But anyway, he was a super nice guy. Ended up just talking his ear off. We ended up talking for like about an hour. Ended up finding out that he's from the original place in New Jersey that I grew up in as a kid. And we ended up talking about theater. We ended up talking about movies. I asked him about Stanley Kubrick.
Oh.
And he was basically saying that Stanley Kubrick was the best director he ever worked with.
and he loved working with him. He would say that, you know, he would do 20 takes of something, and each time, each take was a different lighting setup, or he would change up something on the cinematography, which is totally different each and every time. He had nothing bad to say about Stanley Kubrick, which I thought was interesting, because you hear about the horror stories of
Shelley Duvall. Yeah, well, I think,
Shelley
too,
Duvall.
This was like one of the first movies he did, really. This was the one right after Spartacus that he directed, that he did all on his own, you know? Like, he was brought in to finish out Spartacus.
Yeah.
And then this was like his big, like, first one, you know?
Yeah.
So this is really his, you know, moment to shine and use technology to tell this really cool story.
And you know me, 2001 A Space Odyssey is one of my all-time favorite movies. So being able to talk to
him,
it was just amazing. He was so nice and just so down to earth. And he, at one point, he was
down
like,
to earth.
And at one point, he was like, come on back here. Come hang out with us.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, yeah, I'm not passing that up.
No way.
Also met Drew Struzan, who did posters for a lot of big movies like Blade Runner, Indiana Jones, Star Wars, all
nice.
That. He was super nice, too. Hmm. He actually was willing to take a picture of me when I dressed up as Indiana Jones on the second day. He was so, like, happy that, like, I came to see him dressed up as Indiana Jones. He loved it. And, yeah, it was just so cool. He was just such a nice guy.
I also heard Gaming in 2D was in attendance.
Yes, they were. Our good friends at Gaming in 2D. I picked up some stuff. I actually got some little goodies for you.
Oh.
Make sure to give them to you a little bit later.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, I had to stop by just several times because I just, I don't know. There's such good people, both Adrian and Marcy there.
Yeah, Adrian did our logo.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I hope to work with him again. I mentioned this off mic, but I'm having him work on a commission that's going to feature both of us that I'm really excited about
with
you.
I hope it's like a coffee oil painting of us.
Oh, I don't want to tell you what it is.
On a bearskin rug.
But I think you're going to appreciate it, and I can't wait for everybody else to see it.
Heck yes.
Really, really dig what he did. I think they had a good turnout there. Thank you to all of our listeners who went to go check him out. They're really great people. They got great things planned ahead. I think they're going to more cons, and they're going to be expanding what they do over time. But yeah, support local art. Can't stress that enough.
That's right.
Can't stress that enough. You're not in Orlando, wherever you are at, support your local art there.
And your local noodle shops, too.
And your local noodle shops, yes.
Memorial
can't forget about those.
Memorial Day noodles and nerd culture. Mm. There you go.
There you go.
The pillars of America.
Indeed. Mm. Indeed. So, buddy, I think it's time we get on with the show. We get on to the main event.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
And since that's not a great way to start it off.
You know.
Yeah, I know. But thankfully, we're going to start on a downer, and then we're going to end on a high note. So,
Spoilers much?
Maybe.
The first album we're going to talk about is the new Arctic Monkeys album, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Arctic Monkeys, of course, are a UK band, very, very popular UK band. Apparently, they were recognized. Their debut album is the fastest-selling debut album by a band in the UK chart history.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not.
I remember when it came out, everybody was hailing them as the next Oasis or the next Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, take your pick at some big UK band. Blur, what have you.
Yeah. Who's the guy on the front? He kind of looks like Adam Sandler.
I always thought that, too, every time I saw that cover.
Yeah. So that was
Arctic Monkeys, yeah.
Oh, I love the Arctic Monkeys. Oh, they're so good. Why is no one a monkey in the band?
I was hoping that you would do the impression because you do a much better Adam Sandler impression than I do.
Here we go. So then their second album was called Favorite Worst Nightmare. It was pretty good too. And then Humbug. Yeah, Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age did it.
Yeah, so their sound kind of grew over time. They're known for, how would you describe Arctic Monkeys' music?
I would say they're known for their high energy, kind of upbeat, fast moving, almost UK punk.
Yeah.
But
UK
from
pop punk.
Yeah, pop punk almost.
Very fast lyrics, quick witticisms.
Yeah.
They've always had very strong catchy turns. Lyrics from Alex Turner there, the main front man of the band.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yes.
In his writing, I guess. For those older albums, maybe. Yeah, so their last album was called AM.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, been a while.
And a lot of it was kind of like friendly radio hits. I guess that's the best way to describe. They had a Are You Mine on there.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other big one that was on there?
Can't be that memorable if you can't remember it.
Oh, gosh. It's in my head. I just don't.
I know.
Do I want to know?
Yeah.
And then Why'd You Only Call Me When You're High? Those are the big, like.
Oh, that's right.
Why'd you only call me when you're high? Something like that.
Yeah, oh, Arabella's on like there, too.
Arabella.
That's right.
Something like that, right?
I thought you for a second that you were about to do I'm My Own Worst Enemy.
Damn. Is it the same band? No, it is not.
Isn't that how it starts off? No, no, no. That's
you're thinking
starting off a Fat Lip.
Oh, you're thinking. My Own Worst Enemy is. Oh, wait, no. It's.
That's what it is. Sorry, I mixed up all my middle school punk there.
It's all good. But this new album is a Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino is a very experimental album.
I think you're being a little too kind here, Adam.
Allegedly, this was written by Alex Turner on a piano, and everyone just kind of inputted their thing into it, too, after he said, this is the new album. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, that's more like it.
This is very much a David Bowie experimental, let's try something new kind of thing. And the result is mixed. A lot of Arctic Monkey fans are saying this is the greatest thing they've ever done. Others are saying this is pretty bad. Others are saying this sounds just like an Alex Turner passion solo project and he couldn't market it himself, so he just called it Arctic Monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
John, what do you think of this album?
I think I'm over artists trying to be like David Bowie, and that's exactly what this is. I think the concept, this kind of like space hotel and casino where Alex Turner is essentially a crooner going through intergalactic time and space, sounds better in concept than it does in execution, because boy oh boy, Adam, you say experimental. I feel at least with experimental albums, they keep my interest.
Yeah, this is
this couldn't.
I don't know if I meant experimental as opposed to like weird sounds and blips and blobs, just very different from what they're used to doing.
That's fair.
That type of sense of experimental.
Yes. Like, it is definitely completely different from what they normally do. And if you read Vogue, apparently, according to them, this is their Kid A, which is utter BS. I couldn't believe it when I read that article.
Yeah.
First off, don't compare this album to Kid A. Yeah. Second off,
I mean, if you're comparing the legacy of Kid A to this, I don't see it either. At least, see, the problem is this, and the mostly for this album for me, it didn't build. Like, the first song is called Star Treatment, and it's almost 6 minutes long, and it kind of sets up the tone for this album, kind of like this, okay, I'm in an elevator, jazz lounge music is playing, I got my martini and my tuxedo on, gonna explore this. And like a lot of big band jazz numbers and stuff, it builds. You know, you have the intro, it starts off a little slow, then the chorus usually, you know, whatever it needs to be. But this album doesn't build. It just stays at the same speed, and nothing is exciting about it.
It just flatlines.
Right, and you expect, and I kept expecting, I was like, okay, where's the big number? Like, if this is like a true jazz, big, you know, grand scheme thing, like, something big's gonna happen. And nothing happens.
Nothing.
And it's just boring.
It is. It really is. To go off your point, that first song sets the tone, and it stays there.
Yeah, his first lines are like, I only wanted to be like the Strokes. It's like, the Strokes weren't writing the music you're about to play for the next 40 minutes.
It's true.
Like, I don't understand what you're trying to be equivalent to with that statement.
It would be a smart lyric on any of their other albums.
I mean, maybe he's, like, reminiscing about the past. Because, you know.
I think so.
But
I think
a lot
of
bands stole
from
the Strokes. Like, most of those bands, Interpol, Killers,
yeah,
all those Kings of Leon, like they're all Strokes, you know, freaking the bass player from Kings of Leon, his main influence is Nikolai from the Strokes, so mm-hmm. their bass tones are very similar if you listen.
Yeah, they are.
Very, you know,
it's and that's okay from a lyrical perspective.
Yeah, like the lyrics are fine on this album. Yeah. It's just the musicality of everything. Like, I know some people are just like, oh, it's their new sound and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, like, there's one way to experiment with your sound and your style, and then you have this. You know?
It's not fully realized.
I think it's fully realized, just it just doesn't work.
I guess I should say it's not fully realized in a musicality sense. Like, the concept is there. It's the execution that's the problem. And I really think if you're going to do something that's David Bowie-esque, you have to stick the landing. Otherwise, you sound like a pale comparison, and that's exactly what this is.
I mean, I heard some Bowie stuff in here, but it's just like, it at least with the Bowie albums like this, it goes somewhere.
Yes.
You know, there's like Black Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's their David Bowie's last album.
Mm-hmm.
It very similar sounds to this, but mm-hmm. that goes somewhere.
It does.
You know what I mean? The lyrics are intelligent. The lyrics are very, you know, everything he went through. It's very there. And the music builds. It doesn't stay this one speed, you know?
Exactly. Which is probably why they didn't put out a single for this album to hype it up prior. They just basically kind of like dropped it and then kind of had a single afterwards, 4 out of 5, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which just, that hook just gets very degrading for me after a while, which is one of the reasons why I didn't enjoy this album, because I felt like anything good that was there was overused.
Yeah.
Or underused.
This is not their style of music. And I think as a first experimentation, it just doesn't work.
If they
put little blips and blurbs. All right, I'm going to give another example. So Spoon.
Yes.
We both love Spoon. They put out Hot Stuff.
Hot Thoughts.
Hot Thoughts. My bad. Hot Stuff. You can call that Hot Stuff, baby, tonight. But like, okay, so that was an experimental album for Spoon.
Yes.
But they didn't fully commit to the experimental. They used little elements of it to already highlight their songwriting and their skills. This is kind of what they were doing, but the whole album is like this experimental style, and it doesn't work because when you think of the Arctic Monkeys, you think rock ballads and fun, mm-hmm. and, you know, this is not fun.
No.
Not saying that every album needs to be the same. There's room for them to grow, like in Humbug, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least they grow their style and sound there,
exactly.
and they're able to focus it. But this is just like, Alex Turner had too many dirty martinis and he just was like, I'm gonna write a piano ballad.
Adam Sandler makes another appearance here.
Oh yeah, I like the piano. Here you go.
And to your point, that's exactly what this is. It's him lamenting about being a rock star,
yeah.
which I'm not really a fan of. Like, oh, you're famous. Oh, you let other people dictate you and what you should do in your career. Like, oh my God, I am so sorry. You make lots of money and are famous and well-loved by fans.
Yeah, like, most of the positive reviews about this album are mostly, like, the concept. And I think the concept, like, doesn't work for what they're presenting. Like, it's just, it doesn't...
You can't get by on concept alone.
Like, you can't give this album a good review based on, oh, Alex Turner had this idea to create this Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino and the hype behind it, like, that doesn't make, like, if you actually listen to this, like, it just doesn't do anything.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
it really, really doesn't. And I think my other big problem with this album as well is just that while the lyrics are probably the only element that is decent here, even if they're not necessarily great, because like I said, it's just him lamenting, I still think at certain points he's doing it with such little energy.
Yeah, there's not much, not that every song needs a lot of energy to it, but like,
it's almost like he's muttering his lyrics at some points.
It's like, it's,
you know, as if he's like bored talking to the hot girl at the bar.
They all seem bored on it.
Like, isn't that what it sounds like? It sounds like a scenario where here's Alex Turner, you know, he just got done putting on a kick-ass show in London, and now he's talking to this really pretty girl, but she's never seen Blade Runner, so I'm judging her because she's not as well informed as
It's a very arrogant album.
It is.
It makes you. It's like if you don't get what we're doing, you're stupid. And it's I feel like that's the problem with this album. It's too arrogant, and it's not good enough to merit that.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It's not just that they've lost touch with who I think they are. There's just this thought process that, oh, we need to subvert all these expectations that people are putting on us. We need to do this different thing.
Which is fine, and I'm all for a new sound, new thing, but don't make it boring.
Exactly.
It's just, it doesn't go anywhere. There's no buildup. There's no payoff at the end. The last song is, what's it called, Ultra Cheese?
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Ugh.
By that point, and it was a struggle for me to get through this album.
Yeah, like, I don't remember any of the songs.
Really. I don't either. There's no chorus that stuck out to me. There's nothing on this album where I'm like, I'm genuinely impressed by that.
Yeah. The only thing I could probably be impressed by is all the bass playing. All the bass lines are excellent.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I still don't think...
It doesn't save it, per se.
No, it doesn't. The lyrics and the bass lines are probably the only decent elements on this album.
Yeah.
Everything else is just completely forgettable. Because David Bowie also, if we're going to keep on comparing this album to David Bowie, he also knew how to embrace weirdness.
Yeah.
And Alex Turner can't do that because it's like, I still got to be that cool guy.
Yeah, he's very suave, arrogant on this album.
You know, he got his hair slicked back now and is wearing suits for his performances and stuff like that. I feel like there's always some new shtick that he has for every album. With Humbug, it's like, oh, I've been listening to a lot of, like, desert rock, so I'm going to grow out my hair and make it really long. This, I really want to know what his end game was with this album. Because you're right.
I think, too, it's more of, this is more of his passion project than it is the other band members.
Yes.
And I think
Is it either a passion project or it's a, I need this band to evolve into something new because I feel like I've done everything that I wanted to. I wanted this band, going back to the Strokes line, I wanted this band to be like the Strokes because I really loved that band at the time. But now my band has morphed into something that I really don't love anymore and I'm not really as passionate about. And my side projects don't do as well. So maybe this is my only platform to, you know, basically put out there like, here's who I am. And you guys are going to accept it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, and if you don't like it, then whatever.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, it just sounds very, very much like somebody who needs to come back down to earth.
Yeah. I'm all for a new style, a new tone, like I was saying. But, like, make it interesting. I mean, you guys wrote I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor and Fluorescent Adolescence. Like, I think the thing that makes Arctic Monkeys enjoyable to listen to is their energy.
Yes,
and
I completely agree.
The fastness of it and just the quips and all that stuff. And this is just, it's a whole new band. And it
pretty much
doesn't work. And it's not just because it's the Arctic Monkeys. It just doesn't work because it's boring.
Yep. All
right. Anyways, final thoughts really quick. Anything else you want to add?
Another point that I wanted to bring up for my final thoughts was our good buddy Kyle over on the podcast, Somewhat Creative. Great guy there. Definitely check out his podcast, by the way. He brought up a good point. He said this sounded like a pulp album, but obviously a bad version of a pulp album. And he's absolutely right.
What do you mean by pulp album?
The band Pulp.
Oh,
yes.
My bad.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
like Pulp Fiction?
No. And he's absolutely right, because we talked about David Bowie.
I've never heard Pulp before. Can you give me like a little quick sound?
I'm pretty sure it was the band that Jarvis Cocker was in.
Okay.
Pretty sure. You know, another British band. But he's absolutely right on the money with that comparison, because not just because it's another artist that they sound like, but it's just because nothing on this album really is captivating because it sounds like somebody else. It sounds like David Bowie. It sounds like Pulp. It sounds like any other
artists out there, but not them. Whatever is, you know, up Alex Turner's butt right now, I hope it gets out there.
Dang.
Because, dude, I don't care if you are struggling with being a rock star. I don't. And if you're going to complain about it, make it interesting. Because right now, he's trying to put out music that that we're supposed to kind of like sympathize with. And I don't sympathize with him whatsoever. And people are going to hail him as a genius for that. I've seen plenty of people, to your earlier point earlier when you were talking about the people who do like this album, you know, just talking about like his personality and what he brings to the music. I don't care about any of that. I don't care that he came up with this far out concept, decided to mix it up. You can't sell an album to me on concept alone, especially when the concept isn't that strong enough to really become its own thing. If you're going to be inspired by David Bowie, you are not only going to have to put your own spin on it, mm-hmm. you're also going to have to make sure that you keep my interest. Janelle Monáe's recent album, when we talked about her the other week, heavily Prince influenced. But it wasn't just Janelle Monáe being like, I really like Prince and he was my mentor, I'm going to do his music. No, that music is Janelle Monáe. This isn't Alex Turner and this isn't the Arctic Monkeys. So for me, ultimately, I'm going to have to give it a leave it. Only minor things are saving it from going into a trash it.
Yeah.
And it was close. I do not get the appeal that anybody has behind this album unless they're just really big Arctic Monkey fans out there. And just for whatever reason, you just like anything and everything that they put out, then hey, maybe this album is for you. But no, I struggled to come back to this this review.
The first time I listened to it, I was driving to work and I was just like, okay, is this going to get better? I don't know. It's not for me. And if you like this album, I don't really understand why. Going back to what you were saying, you know, just the concept behind it. Like, you can't sell an album on concept alone. Like, you can make weird experimental albums and still produce something good of it. The new Jack White album, for instance. I know you did not like it.
Well, can I make a point about that, actually?
Sure.
That album at least had variety.
Also,
album at least had energy.
That album did not distract from the core of what Jack White is or his sound.
Completely
agree. There were still guitar solos. There was just different ways of introducing guitar and screams and weird lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
This is just like, I don't know what this is. This is just like Alex Turner. I think he just said, no one's going to buy this on concept alone. I have to call it an Arctic Monkeys project and you guys are going to do it. I'm tired of playing stadium rock, you know, I want to do something classier, more fun, give me chance to shine, and they're just like, okay, go for it. And
that's exactly it.
It just, you can make fun piano jazz music. It doesn't have to be boring, but I expect more when a band who's known for their high energy and high performance and high lyrics and all this stuff produces this, which is just like elevator music, and it's just, I can't do it. So yeah. I'm going to give it a leave it as well. I think it's definitely one of those you should listen to. Just figure it out from yourself, but that's about it.
Yeah, sorry. I don't get the appeal.
Better luck next time.
Do not get the appeal.
And I could have, if it'd be very interesting, you know, go back in time, if they did release 4 out of 5 first, like before this whole album came out and people are just like, this is weird. Why? You know.
Yeah.
I don't think the album would have sold as well as it did.
No, I don't think it would have either. I think unfortunately there's just probably a lot of people that are just going to go right into this album embracing the things that have been sold to them, but I don't think this will hold up.
Like, I mean, and that's the problem with the album too, because there were no singles released, they had to sell it on hype and concept alone.
Yeah.
You know. Which it makes sense that this album came out 5 years after their first, you know, after AM did, Because yeah. if, like, could you imagine, like, if they didn't put anything released by it, it's just like, oh, here's our new album. It's a piano ballad. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, they had to get the new image out. They had to get the new, you know, pop-up shop going where you can buy movies and yeah. whatever. Like, you had yeah. to get that whole concept going. But the problem is the concept doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Because it just doesn't go anywhere. So.
It really doesn't. Yeah. I know it's such a downer of an album to talk about.
Yeah, but speaking of an album's not going anywhere, how about an album that does go somewhere?
Look at that segue there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the best at those segues, let me tell you, buddy.
You know it.
They just keep on getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. That's like segues in general.
So our next album... I'm really excited to talk about, buddy.
I'm very excited to talk about this album.
It is the latest album from Parquet Quartz, which apparently that's how the correct way to say it.
How do you say it?
Parquet Quartz.
Quartz?
Yeah, even though it's spelled Parquet Quartz.
Interesting.
You know, it's what you do, apparently.
Sure.
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 Their latest album, Wide Awake. I'm wide awake. Oh, that's such a catchy single, man. Such a catchy single. Now, you and I were big fans of Parquet Quartz. We saw them live when they came here to Orlando, I guess a couple years now. Or maybe it was last
year. That was last year.
That was last year? Man, I think time has just flown by. Yeah, you're right, because it was like March-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe January-ish?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that, I don't remember.
Something like that. Yeah, they put on one hell of a show at the Social. Easily one of the best shows I've ever been to. I don't know about you, man.
Oh, no. It was a very interesting show. They had a harp player open for them.
Mary Lattimore, who actually I've listened to her latest album. It's pretty good.
We went to Parquet Quartz on February 6th of last year, 2017.
No kidding.
Yep. Look at the photo I took now.
Look at that. Craziness. Time has just flown right by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who don't know who Parquet Quartz are, they are a band that originally hails from Texas. They are now residing in New York, New York. And they're consisting of the members, Andrew Savage. Is it Andrew Savage?
It's A Savage.
Yes. Yeah. A Savage. Austin Brown, the other vocalist as well. Sean Yeaton and Max Savage.
Who's the drummer and brother
yes.
of Andrew Savage.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And they've been around since 2010, so they're a relatively new band in the grand scheme of things. They've covered a lot of different genres, and really the best way to describe them is that they're an art rock band.
Art punk rock.
Yes.
I guess is the best way to...
Absolutely. Their earlier stuff is just... It's all over the place, but in a good way.
Yeah, it's very, like... angsty and very not aggressive or preachy per se, but it's a very unique style. It's almost Talking Heads-ish.
Yes,
which is
I would agree
I'm
with
going
that
to bring up a lot in this review.
Yes, I think so but, too. And their music really is very poignant about modern life and the things that we obsess over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had songs about like advertising and how it affects you and just how you have ad nauseum from all that and just how like life can just be kind of really just utter what's the word that I'm looking for? It could be kind of like minute and
yeah.
just kind of, you know, it not trying to say that they're depressing, they're not that way at all.
It's not depressing.
It's punk
at all.
Music.
It's punk. It's fun punk music.
It's fun, dancey punk music. Exactly.
Very catchy hooks, very
mm-hmm.
You know, my Talking Heads analogy, everyone is doing different things in the band. Very, you know, very like that.
And they pretty much have been coming out with an album like every year. These guys are just constantly working. Last year, I know they had an album that they did with Daniel Lupe and mm-hmm. Karen O from the AAS called Milano. And that was a great album. Really under the radar album. I know Andrew Savage, right? Andrew?
Yep.
Andrew Savage had a solo album last year. And, of course, in 2016, they came out with what I think is probably their breakthrough album for a lot of people, Human Performance. Great album. Recommend checking out that one.
Yes, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, that's probably a good starter position.
The first song
is
about dust. like dust, like in your house.
Once again, Minute.
Minute, yeah. It's a great album. All the art is really cool, too. Andrew Savage does all the art. on all the albums.
And now they're back, but this time they've teamed up with Danger Mouse. Now, Danger Mouse is kind of a pretty well-known producer at this point. Had some success with Gnarls Barkley and You Think I'm Crazy. And that whole thing.
Black
there.
Keys.
And the Black Keys, of course, as well.
And the Gray Album, of course. And the Gray Album. That's how he kind of started out.
Did an album with MF Doom, Danger Doom.
Danger Doom, yeah.
Very, very solid album. I feel like that one kind of always goes under the radar. It's not as held Isn't as he in, like, high regard, but it's really good, I think, still.
What's that one he did with the guy from The Shins? Is that a thing?
Oh, Crystal Castles? Yes. No, it's not Crystal Castles.
No. Oops. Sorry. What's it called?
I know what you're talking about. Oh, man. While you're looking that up, I just wanted to say that the reason why we bring up Danger Mouse is because it was a little bit of a concern for Adam and I here.
All Broken Bells.
Broken Bells.
There's
there we
alliteration.
Go. You,
I knew it. I knew it.
But anyway, Danger Mouse, we were kind of concerned with him being the producer on the latest Parquet Courts album because ultimately we're afraid that it would kind of just clean up their sound.
Yeah, especially since Danger Mouse produced the Queens of the Stone Age album last year, Villains.
That wasn't him.
Oh, was it?
No, it was Mark
Ronson. Damn.
Oh, but that's all right. That's all right, Adam.
Just exile me.
Hey, man, you can't keep track of everything.
Just you do the talking.
Oh, no, you're okay, buddy. But to your point, I get what you're going for here. To your point, he really kind of made the Queens of Stone Age sound a little bit too polished. Lost a little bit of that edge.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
that was the concern we had with this album. I'm sorry, what were you going to
say? Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
But, yeah. And you know, that was our concern going in, but the singles were strong. They put out a couple, one that was like two tracks and one, and then Wide Awake, which we were singing earlier.
I think that the first one that came out was Almost Had to Start a Fight / what's the other part called?
In and Out of Patience.
Yes, that was the first one that came out, and then John and I were like, all right, this is cool. And then Wide Awake came out, and also they played on the Ellen Show, and we're just like, okay, sure.
Yeah. You know, a lot of interesting things were being done in the lead up to this album dropping.
Yeah, and it was one of those like, okay, I hear Wide Awake and it sounds a lot like Burning Down the House by Talking Heads. But I figured the album would make sense, those songs would make sense in the context of everything. And I was absolutely right on that.
Yes, you are, sir.
Yeah.
Because man, is this a fun album.
This is a great album.
Yes, it is.
Not even spoiler alert, it's a great album.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I'm glad that we get to talk about a great album after the last one that we talked about.
Yeah.
Because, man,
Talk about refining your sound, let me tell you. There's a difference between Alex Turner going, I'm going to rap piano ballads, and Parquet Courts going, I'm going to team up with Danger Mouse to make us sound even better than we already are.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what Danger Mouse did. There's no... It's still the essence and the core of the band, but a larger, fuller sound. The pianos are more in sync with everything. The guitars are crisp and clear.
Yeah.
You know, when John and I saw Parquet Courts at Social last year, there was very much a punk energy that we did not even get from the previous albums.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like he does like kind of not scream per se, but he does have more aggressive vocals on Human Performance.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you see him live, he's like belting it and like screaming it. And it's like, dang, we didn't get that at all like on the album. But this album, especially with like the first and second song, like you hear his aggression in it. And I really like that a lot.
This album opens up so strongly. And that final line on Total Football, the opening track, is just perfect.
Yep.
I love it. And that's partially because I'm a Jets fan, but also partially because it's so true.
He says, F Tom Brady.
That's too perfect.
Yeah.
It's too perfect. There's a lot of strong elements to this album. And... I think the core of what makes Parquet Courts work so well is that they're really able to do almost any genre that they attempt.
Yeah.
And make it their own. This album kind of goes all over the place, and typically that would be a negative comment to make about an album, but here they make it work, just like they have on their previous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point about Danger Mouse kind of refining their sound, he pretty much is able to accentuate what makes them great as opposed to taking away elements that make them great. So we talked about Queens of the Stone Age, you know, sounding a lot cleaner on their most recent album, thanks to Mark Ronson. Yeah, this is probably the best production that this band has ever had.
Yeah,
but it's not to its detriment.
No, or, I mean, if you listen to all their albums simultaneously, like, there's not much of a difference. There is a little difference, but there's not, you know what I mean? It's like, it's still the essence of who they are. Just maybe the sound is a little more fuller. The bass, if you can get this on vinyl, I would highly suggest that. I listened to it a couple times on my phone, but mostly on vinyl. And just the bass cut on the vinyl is crisp. It's there. It's beautiful. Like, definitely, these bass lines blow me away.
These are probably some of the best bass lines that this band has done on any of their albums.
Yeah.
And it's really, I thought it was smart from a producing standpoint from Danger Mouse to really highlight that element of the band. Because it works so well with these songs. Because some of these songs kind of have, I wouldn't say spare electric guitar parts, but they're more,
you have two people
sharp
playing
punk guitars.
Yeah,
you know?
You have Andrew kind of playing, the root chords, and then, oh my gosh, what's the other guitar player's name?
I could tell you, but keep on going.
You have Sean on bass kind of just doing his own thing. And even when you watch them play, he's always
Austin
in the
Brown.
Middle. Austin Brown, that's right. And, Austin's kind of doing his own thing. And then, Sean comes in with the fun little bass line. He's just, like, dancing up there. Like, they're a fun band. Like, this is a fun album. It gave me a lot of, I keep referencing Talking Heads, but, like, when Stop Making Sense came out and, like, Brian Eno came in and was like, okay, here's how I envision this. And he worked with David Byrne to really realize what their sound could be and what they're trying to say. And I think this is their, Remain in Light album, because it's just so, it's so good.
It really is. It really is. This is probably one of my favorite albums so far this year.
It's very smart in the way it presents current issues.
It is.
The second song, Violence, he kind of just him lamenting about how much violence is in the media. And like one of the best lines, he's like, my name is Savage because that's how I feel. Just like, dang,
I love
that
line.
That's like great.
Yeah, it's very relevant to what's going on right now.
Yep.
Without hitting you over the head too much.
No.
Without making it a overbearing album to listen to where like you feel like, ugh, this is just too heavy for me.
Yeah, it's not very, it's definitely a woke album, but it's not a very like in your face about it. You can still find elements if you're not looking for that.
And I think he's also smart about being critical of all sides.
Yeah.
I think Andrew Savage, I think one of the things that I really like about him as a writer on these songs is that he's able to see through all the nonsense. He's not somebody who is willing to just believe anything that he's force-fed.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look beyond all that and really see things for what they are.
Always questioning the authority.
Always questioning authority, always questioning really everything.
Yeah.
And that's the case throughout the whole album here.
And that makes them for some fun punk songs.
Oh, yeah. It really, really does. This is actually probably their strongest lyrical album. And they've had some strong lyrics on their previous stuff. But this one, I don't know if it's just Danger Mouse coming in and kind of being like, hey, I'll help fill in the gaps that you guys need. I'll help play up this element. You know what? What you're doing here is really strong, but I'll take it up a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And that then meant that he could focus more on the lyrics. Whatever it is, it worked. It worked really, really well.
Definitely.
So I think, buddy, I really could go on and on about this album.
I know. We both.
It really is one of my favorites. I really don't have too many complaints about it. There's one track a little bit later on that I think is a little bit too, it's probably the only one that felt like too much like Danger Mouse, and it felt like almost, it doesn't bring the album down, but it definitely feels like, okay, this song could have been left off altogether and just made this a stronger album. Back to Earth is a track. It's got pretty much the most recognizable Danger Mouse elements in it, especially in the chorus of the song where he comes in and he's kind of adding the reverb to Austin Brown's singing and everything like that. It just kind of draws out the song more than it needs to, and probably would have worked better as a simpler song, one that didn't have in all those added Danger Mouse elements. But that's really probably the only negative that I have about this album, because everything else is so strong.
So
wouldn't you agree?
I highly agree. What would you give it? What's your...
I kind of want you to go first. I'm curious as to what you're going to give it first.
Oh, geez. Okay. Yeah, I absolutely love this album. I think it's easily their best album. I think it's not getting the coverage it needs to.
No.
It's not getting the highlighting recognition it needs to. And so far, this is my favorite album of the year so far out of everything I listened to. The vinyl is great. If you can, I would say definitely get this on vinyl. This is, what's our highest rating? Own it.
Our highest rating is Gotta Have It.
Gotta Have It.
It's been a while since we did it.
It's been a while, but this is one you gotta have. This, definitely check this out. Even if this is your first awakening into Parquet Courts, this is a great way to start.
Completely agree.
Yay.
This is absolutely a gotta have it. Own this record and get it on vinyl. Get the extra art. Get all of it.
Yes.
Get the t-shirt.
Go see them if they ever
come. Get the stickers and definitely see them when they come by. This is one of those bands that's going to only get better with age, and the same can be said with this album. The more I listen to it, the more I enjoy it. It's absolutely my favorite album as well, and I'm very, very glad you said Gotta Have It, because I was a little bit nervous I would be the only one out of both of us saying it. But yeah, this is absolutely
this album is a, yeah, go buy this album now.
Yeah, go buy it now. Give it a chance. If you've never heard of Parquet Courts, probably start out with Human Performance first. But this is definitely the album that you need to listen to.
It's a great album.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Hey, you know what else you need to listen to?
Hold on 1 second. What?
You need to listen to Newsflash!
I lowered my headphones for that one.
Nice. Sorry, buddy.
No, you're good.
Don't mean to peek on you there.
You're good.
Peeky
blinders.
Peeky blinders. Hey, you like Vampire Weekend, right?
Oh, I love Vampire Weekend.
Oh, of course you do.
Great little band.
Of course you do. Well, they've been out of the music business for quite some time.
Sad.
Very, very sad. And it looks like we may finally be getting a long-awaited return from them. Their first album in 5 years, follow-up to Modern Vampires in the City. Yes, that's right. Vampire Weekend have said that their latest album is now at 94.5% complete.
Ooh.
Which they said in response to a fan on their Instagram account, where they've been posting either random videos or footage. Very, very excited, of course. But I guess the reason why I wanted to bring it up was that what we do know, and this is probably part of the reason why they haven't come out with some music in a while, besides the stuff that the lead singer Ezra Koenig has been doing on the side with Apple Radio, but our boy, who came out with a solo album pretty recently, Rotstam, isn't in the band anymore.
Oh, no.
Yes, that is correct. Now, there's been some talk that he might appear in some kind of fashion on this new album, but he isn't officially a member of Vampire Weekend anymore. So my question for you, because this is a show where we discuss things, is without Rotstam, do you think this band has the same appeal?
Oh, boy.
Step into the mic there, sir.
Oh, boy. It's going to be a very interesting album. I will tell you that if what you're saying is true. I mean, most of Vampire Weekend's quirkiness comes from the added layers of piano.
Multi-instrumentation.
Yes, the harpsichord, the funness, and the little extra touches that Rotstam does give. Also, his musical direction.
Yep, production, all that.
All that stuff. So I think from what I read a long time ago that Rotstam will always be an influencer of Vampire Weekend and will be in the band in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, you know, just contributing things, producing. So I think there will be elements of him in it, but probably too that he was just like, okay, can't replace me. Like,
well, I know it's not much to go into, and at this point it's just speculation, but they put out a new logo. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vampire Weekend had a bit of a different sound to them.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Now, hopefully it's a sound that's in the right direction. I think at the very least, we still have Ezra, the main front man behind it. He's the guy who came with all the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hopeful. You know, I'm not opposed to them going for a new sound. I don't think they can do what they did a couple of years, or 5 years ago, I should say, And I also
they can't do Contra again without Rostam.
They can't do Contra again. They also can't put out the same kind of music that they did when they were in college.
Yeah.
He's a little bit older now. I think he's still dating Rashida Jones, which, you know, I feel like it really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it'd probably be a little bit, maybe it should be anyway, a bit more mature from them.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be missing Rotsam's elements in the band,
It'll
of course.
Be a very different feel.
And especially between his solo record that he put out, which was pretty solid, we thought.
Yeah.
And then the album that he did with Hamilton Lighthouser from The Walkman, which was excellent. One of the best albums from last year, in my opinion. I think that's going to be a huge loss, especially when we know what he was able to do with those things outside of Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, well, while we wait and anticipate that album coming out, John, are you listening to anything new?
Dude, there's been a lot of great music that's been coming
out. There has been way too much to keep track of.
And it's not going to stop. On June 1st, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be dropping. In fact, some things that we'll be talking about soon. But before we get to those big things, I think I need to bring up the latest album from Pusha T, from the rap duo Clips. And he has come out with a new album called Daytona, which is produced by Kanye West and controversially features a $85,000 photo of Whitney Houston's bathroom when she was found dead. Like, that's a police photo that Kanye West bought.
And licensed, yeah.
For $85,000 to be put on an album
cover.
Must
be nice to drop that kind of money on a photo.
Why?
I don't know.
Like, that Kanye is just when you think he's completely lost that he does something like that. It just doesn't matter.
We're talking about it. That's what he wants.
I know. But that's all I'm going to say about it. I think it's just he's bonkers. I think the production on it is pretty good, though.
Okay.
It's definitely more of a soulful album that he provided for Pusha T. Now, I don't think this is his best rapping that he's done. It's definitely not reached the heights of the early Clips days, whether it's Hell Hath No Fury or their debut album, which, it's drawn a blank on. I just got it on vinyl not that long ago. Can't remember the one with Virginia on it.
Oh my god, it's
Well, anyway, their debut album, you know, it's not of that
Lord
level.
Willin?
Yeah, Lord Willin.
Yeah.
It's not of that quality, but Pusha T still has it. I think he's got some strong lyrics in there as well. I know a lot of people really hyped up this album. I don't know if I put it on the same plateau as a lot of other people, but I highly recommend checking it out.
Cool. I'm going to recommend the new La Luz album called Floating Features. It's a very fun dream poppy rock album.
Dream poppy.
Yeah.
I love when those two words are put together.
Yeah, it's a very fun album. Check it out.
Hey, you know me, buddy. I will definitely check him out. I trust your opinion. You know what else I think you should check out, buddy? You should check out Kamal Williams. It's a jazz fusion artist. He dropped an album pretty recent called The Return. It's pretty much it's like a mixture almost of jazz fusion, some hip hop, some UK elements as well. It's just a really solid, laid back jazz record that I think, you know, you kind of put on maybe late at night type of deal. You know, you're just kind of chilling out. I feel like I use chilling out quite a bit to describe a lot of music, but
chilling out.
Highly recommend checking that out. I think it's a really good album too.
Sweet. What's the album? It's called Slow Buzz by Remember Sports. Do you remember sports?
I remember sports.
Yeah, it's called Slow Buzz. Another fun little rock album. Check out.
That's a cool name, too, for a band as well.
Yeah.
I dig that. Well, I have one more. And this one I'm kind of saving for the last because I really, really enjoyed this EP quite a bit. It's Hatchy. It's the word hatch, i.e. at the end of it. And it is Sugar and Spice, the latest EP from her. She's based out of Brisbane, and she's a singer and bassist, and she pretty much, here's those famous two words again, put out a dream pop album, and it's quite good. Really, really catchy stuff. I think she has a bright future ahead of her. I think when she drops her full LP eventually, it's going to be just highly regarded as one of the best albums of the year. I could see it being that big. Yeah. Yeah, the EP is very, very strong. and I've seen why the Underground's talked about her. I think she has a bright future ahead of her.
Sweet.
Do you have anything else, buddy?
I think that's about it on my list.
Okay, so before we drop off, I think there's something that important that we need to discuss. So whether you're based out of Orlando or not, we think you should vote for us for Best of Orlando through OrlandoWeekly.com. So Orlando Weekly is a weekly publication here that basically keeps all of us hipster people up to date on all the fun things going on in Orlando.
It's or we just look at, see what's popular in there and avoid them like the true hipsters we are.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's hipsters and then there's the hipster hipsters. The hipsters that avoid the hipsters.
There it is.
You know, or maybe that should be, it should be hipster, then off hipster.
And then the off hipster hipster.
Yeah. Off
okay,
hipster.
That makes sense.
Yeah, there we go. So they do a yearly poll, basically.
The best of Orlando.
Best of Orlando.
Best restaurants, best mm-hmm. music scene, best bars, all these kind of fun things. And they have under the local color section, Orlando's best podcast. And if you want to write us in, G4D podcast, that would be wonderful. Fantastic.
Yes. Yes, please. Please write us in.
Yeah.
Let's level set with everybody listening in. We don't expect to beat out the big ones here.
It's all good. At least get our names in the pool. Stirring, as a coffee expert would say, stirring the pot. Mm. Let's stir the pot a little bit and
yes,
get some fun things out there.
Let's grind those beans.
Ooh, yes, grind those viewers.
Yes. Let's drop the needle on the record.
Yeah, okay, that's a good one too.
Really? Okay. I thought it was kind of lame, but
all right.
We'll
work on it.
Okay, good. Thank you for the confidence boost there.
Anytime.
Although I'm sure off mic, he's going to have a stern talking to me.
That's right.
He's going to be like,
face full of hot coffee.
John, don't you know how this works? I make the jokes around here.
No, you're allowed to. I am an all-purpose joke receiver and giver.
Are you now?
Oh, yeah. Ayo. Anyways.
But yeah, definitely vote for us. Yeah, OrlandoWeekly.com. You'll find their Best of Orlando there on their page. Write us in for the best local podcast. G4D, Grounds for Discussion. Write us in. We love you, people.
Do it now.
We absolutely
love
it. I'm
going to wait until you do it now.
Yeah. I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to peer over your shoulder. I'm going to make sure you write us in.
All right, John's going to do two things. He's going to come to your house, make sure you don't put sugar in your coffee or cream, and then he's going to say, have you voted for us yet?
Yes. And I'm also going to make sure you do not put on a Ed Sheeran vinyl.
Ooh.
Ugh. Pains me. That was like one of the highest selling vinyl records.
That's crazy.
Same thing with 21 Pilots.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that, too.
Yeah. But that's the world we live in.
Hey.
So, hey, we want you to listen to great music. And that's why you listen in to us every single week here.
Let's level set, too. If you like Ed Sheeran and if you like 21 Pilots, that's great. You can. You're allowed to. It's okay. Everyone has different tastes.
I don't agree with you on that.
Hey, different strokes for different folks.
I want to be nice.
I know.
I can't do it.
It's okay.
I can't do it.
We can just talk about how bad it is on here. It's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for letting me vent.
Of course. This is why we do this, to vent.
To vent.
And hopefully someone listens.
This podcast has become
an
outlet for me to complain about Ed Sheeran.
This is his main influence. Got a lot of problems with you, Ed, and the whole world's going to hear it. Anyways.
But seriously, please vote for us.
Yeah, I think that was enough time for you to vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. If you haven't already, do it now. Do it now! Please. For us.
John will never do a Arnold Schwarzenegger impression again if you do it now. I promise you.
Thanks, buddy. If that's a veiled criticism at me, I'm not going to hear it.
Hey. Anyways, thanks for listening. This has been
Grounds
for
discussion.
And a bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of G4D, Grounds for Discussion with Adam and John.
Stay up to date on future episodes and all our caffeine-induced antics on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the username G4D_podcast. Drop us a line at g4dpodcast@gmail.com if you have any music suggestions, general questions, or business inquiries.
You can find our podcast on iTunes, and John and I would super appreciate if you rated and subscribed to our show. May your cup and heart always be full of coffee, good music, and cliche motivational ending sentences. Thanks.